It has long been said that ideas are everything, especially in the startup world. But what if having a laser focus on your idea can actually hold your business back? In the Ideas Last podcast, Danielle Gillespie interviews startup founders whose success came from obsessively focusing on execution instead of ideation. Each episode dissects what it actually takes to build a long-lasting, profitable startup rather than simply launching one, by putting your idea last.
Welcome to Ideas Last, the podcast about turning initial sparks into big results. I'm your host, Danielle Gillespie, and I'm excited to learn how top entrepreneurs turn their sparks into thriving companies. Today, we're catching up with Nikos Vekiridis. Nikos founded his company, Attestive, in 2018. Attestive assures the authenticity of digital media captured by any person or device using artificial intelligence and blockchain technology. He is currently the CEO, where he manages all day-to-day company functions. Nikos has a successful and unique background in tech and startups. We have a lot to talk about today, so let's dive right in. Hey, Nikos, thank you so much for joining us today. I'm really looking forward to our conversation about your company.
Hi, Danielle. Thank you for having me here today.
It's great. So I want to kick off just by asking about your initial spark for your company. And like, what was that moment when you thought, aha, this is something that I need to take to the market because we just can't live without it anymore?
Well, I was involved in enterprise IT for the last 20 or so years. And one of the things that was becoming a problem was the authenticity of data. So in other words, when we started this company in 2018, we saw that people were starting to lose trust in things that they were seeing, whether it's photos, videos, even digital documents. There was sort of this distrust that was building, call it the fake news, if you will. And what we saw was an opportunity to restore some order to digital media and be able to restore that trust and authenticity. And that's what we set out to do. And we saw that we had some great technology that we were able to put to work to make it happen.
Oh, that's actually really cool. And quite timely now. I mean, there's just article after article about not just fake news, but fake images and people's the wrong images being used in the wrong context. I think that's really a timely and very interesting thing for you to be working on right now. So was there a particular event or story or something that may have happened that kind of led you to this, the idea to take the leap to create the company? Or was it just kind of this general building distrust in media that was you were working, noodling in your head?
That was part of it. I think in our past lives, we were storing and protecting data. And sometimes when you restore data or where you recover data, you might find, well, this isn't the right data, or this data is somehow corrupted. And what can you do to make sure that not only that you've brought back the data, but you've also given me the correct data? So it was something that we struggled with, and we pulled solutions around, but then we saw that it was hitting in a more global context. And in many ways, sometimes it's about fraud. You have things like deepfakes where you're faking people's identity. I can create a video of myself, but perhaps there could be someone else who takes that video and now starts putting words in my mouth. So in some senses, it's also quite scary. So we saw all of this happening. And we said, wow, there's really a need for a solution here. And the situation is only going to get worse over time unless people take some action.
Great. That's awesome. So you had this great idea. Where did you get started? How did you start? What was the first thing you did?
So myself and my co-founding team. So I started a couple of companies before this. So really, this is our third go around with Attestive. And both of the companies were quite successful. So we really just put our team together and started building this solution. But the first thing we did is we started talking to prospective clients, people who would need this the most. And one of our founding team members had a background in insurance, and that stuck out as an immediate opportunity because there's just so much fraud in insurance today. So we decided to start moving in that direction. We started talking to insurance companies, insurance carriers, and we saw there was not only a need, but there was a lot of opportunity for, I guess, fraudsters to take advantage of some of the systems that are in place.
So that, I'm assuming that insurance was sort of the first industry you tackled as a business case, or was there something else before that?
We started looking pretty horizontally across different markets. And what we thought immediately was digital media for social media, because there's so much there that is being faked. There's so much there that is faked or questionable. But on the other hand, we also saw that as a very difficult one to monetize initially, because really you have to have sort of the need. To some extent, a lot of people might be happy with their fake news or their fake media in those types of contexts. So when we take some place where there's serious fraud like insurance, there's hard fraud, there's a business case, and our background is B2B. So it almost made sense that we approach it with an enterprise solution. And that's exactly what we did, is we found that there's a real business need there. And that's what made it our starting point.
That's awesome. So from the point of view of the product, which part of this media detection did you tackle? Was it images, documents? I'm just trying to get a sense for, you know, you have this great idea, you guys have all this great tech knowledge and ability. How do you rein that in and pick something to just kind of focus on for the product?
Well, it's really something that's customer driven for us. So we had the capability to do images, videos, and documents, and we still have that. But the question is, which one do you expand on first? And that was customer driven. Typically, what we would do is we would talk to our customers, and we did an insurance. And what we find is a lot of photos are used for insurance claims. And because of factors like COVID and the fact that it's difficult for people and inspectors to go out on site to gather these pictures, a lot of insurers are forced to go to self-service, even though they were developing this over time. This became a forcing function. Everybody had to use self-service. So what we did we came in there and we said, well, we can make these self-service processes trusted. So not only do you get the convenience, but now you have the trust, and perhaps more trust than you had even before.
Let's say I'm trying to submit an insurance claim and I need to take pictures of whatever damage. Do I use an app that you guys have developed to take my pictures inside of that? Or do I just submit all of my pictures and your software reads through them and tries to determine whether or not there's any funny business?
Well, that's a good question, because the way that we started is we created an app, and then we created APIs which could go into the insurer's apps. And then at the point of capture, we would essentially lock down and tamper-proof the photos or videos that you would capture. And that was our initial product. And then there was a little bit of a shift on the way, is what we found out is a lot of the photos coming in, they don't come in through the magic camera, so to speak. They come in from all different sources. So if an insurance claim goes through and the insured sends photos by email, typically the insurance carrier is not going to say, oh, we don't want those, go back and take different photos. So we came up, we actually evolved into two approaches. One is the prevention angle, which is we make the photos tamper-proof if we can take them either with our app or with our API. But on the other hand, for third-party photos, we've put together, we've built a stack of AI and analysis. And this analysis goes through the photos and determines if they've been tampered or manipulated or photoshopped, even if someone takes their camera and aims it at a screen. So perhaps the time, date, and location of the camera, everything looks fine, except for the fact that it's being pointed at an image on a screen, we can detect that as well. So it's a combination then of prevention and analysis. And that way we cover the largest, the broadest amount of use cases.
Wow, that's actually pretty awesome, right? I bet insurance companies love it.
Yeah, and it was really that shift that really gave us the broader appeal. It doesn't have to come from a special camera. It can, the photos, the images can come from anywhere.
So I think a lot of new entrepreneurs would be interested in knowing, how long did it take you from creating that first version and then gathering the feedback and creating the next version where you were able to take in photos from different sources? And the question is rooted in, I think a lot of founders think that these things should happen quickly. And if they don't, they start kind of taking shortcuts. So, you know, one of the things I like to do is give a reality check to the founders of the startup companies that I advise.
It doesn't happen overnight. It takes months. So what happens is you get your initial feedback. And what's interesting is when you are simply prospecting. So before, my philosophy is, before you even have a product, you have to discover the need. And oftentimes when you discover the need, you don't discover that full set of requirements. So you have to be prepared to adapt. And often it's a process that takes months, and people think about it and they might say, oh my gosh, it's taking months. But if you look at the life cycle of a startup, it can be several years. So there's time to adapt, and listening and learning and adapting are just key elements of success when it comes to startups.
Yeah, for sure. So you were part of a few different very successful startups. Were there things from your past that you brought with you? I mean, I know that you understand the technology and you have that fundamental understanding of data storage and the sensitivity of making sure that the data is not being tampered with. But were there other elements of those startup lives that you kind of brought with you to this new venture?
Of course. I think somewhere in the back of my mind is ingrained that no two startups are the same. So everything you know, you do take with a grain of salt. But on the other hand, there's some fundamentals, such as how to build a successful team, how to find resilient people like yourself, how to build a team around you that can complement your skill set. So all of that is really essential to building a startup. And a lot of that hasn't changed. So all of us make mistakes. Sometimes we hire people who don't quite work out, and we don't want to make that mistake again, not just for ourselves, but also for the people, because if someone's not really a fit, you know, you don't want to drag them somewhere where they're not going to be happy. So there's a lot of things that we take with us, but then there's a lot that's learned in every single iteration. So that's the amazing thing, is you just keep learning new things. And I like to stay fresh, and at least in terms of my skills. And I help mentor other startups. So I'm part of Founder Institute, and I also joined the small early stage venture fund. And I'm working with sometimes first-time entrepreneurs. And it's interesting, because it's great to be able to provide some of the things that I've learned to them. But what's also interesting is I learn of some new ways of doing things, new tools that are out there. I say, hey, wait a second, why aren't we using this? So it's all together, it's a great experience, but it's a process of learning, but it's also a process of staying open-minded to new ways of doing things.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, you said something interesting there about the team and making sure that you have good people that can adapt and, you know, are kind of in the right swim lane. Are there any guiding principles that you use to find, hire, and retain talent that you could share with us?
Yeah, there's a few. So certainly personal references, people who have, in terms of as the team grows, people who they know who have done great work in the past are always good choices. Certainly, you know, there's sort of also the ones to stay away from, sort of the, just to name one, is friends and family are not exactly great people to be down in the trenches with during a startup, because it's never a straight path. And sometimes things can look pretty abysmal at times, and things can look incredible. So it's a bit of a roller coaster ride. So you do want people who are really able to be resilient during that time, but also have a lot of good experience in problem solving, because that's a lot of what we do.
Yeah. So in your role as an advisor or a mentor, how do you help founders have an open mindset to change and some of this course correction business that sometimes a founder may get too laser focused on their idea without understanding that they need to adapt? Is there some piece of advice that you give that person, or how do you get them to change their mindset on the topic?
Well, I try to give them examples of certainly companies that I've worked with, or cases where we may have become too focused on a product. I think that's always, passion is what drives the entrepreneur, but it's also what can push them off a cliff as well, because you can become too passionate about the product. And in reality, you're building a business, right? The product is sometimes the main feature of that business. But I've seen more companies successful where they take the product or the technology and they turn it into a differentiator. And sometimes it could be taking a very boring business and infusing it with some new technology, and suddenly you have this advantage over all of the competition. And while that may sound boring, it can lead to largely successful companies. Whereas if you're just passionate about the product and everything is about the product, it's sort of hard to see beyond that. So that's really it. Is you're not wed to the idea. You're wed to learning and figuring it out and building a success, and not just for yourself, but really for the team that you build.
Yeah, for sure. Totally agree. What do you think it is that makes Attestive different from other startup companies?
Well, I think it's, some of it is that we're solving a difficult problem. So we're out to solve a difficult problem that has a lot of impact. It has social impact. It has impact to companies. We live in a world where ransomware has suddenly become a huge concern for big companies, right? And how did that happen? Well, it happened because a few hackers found ways, and called them cyber criminals, if you will, but they found ways to exploit the system. And exploiting the system could be that these people are just trying to make money. And until that happens, people don't necessarily realize that there's a problem here. So the way that we position ourselves is we see this problem on the horizon with fake media. You can fake people's identities. You can create fake insurance claims. You can kind of game the system and be a fraudster, and with some success. And what we're doing is we're really have a mission, right? We're helping companies create this layer of defense, and it's a necessary layer of defense as the digital media world progresses, and we're seeing all sorts of fake media.
Yeah, it's a big problem, and I can't even imagine trying to tackle it. It's awesome that you guys are doing that. Where are you in your startup journey? I know you said you kind of got started in 2018. But have you, when did you really start launching this product into insurance, and where are you on your growth scale?
It's still relatively early days. We launched this product last year in 2020. Okay. And right now we're ramping up and having customers start to move us further into production. So it's still early days, but on the other hand, it's a very exciting opportunity, and there's lots of phases of a startup, but it's always the most fun when you can deliver something new and innovative to the market.
Yeah, for sure. So I just have one last question for you, and that is, what is on the horizon for Attestive? What do you guys see coming up in the next 6 months and then the next 2 years? Like, what's your vision of what's going to happen in this space?
Well, one of the challenges that we faced at Attestive is how do you get from a product that you can deliver to a certain industry to a product that you can put everywhere, right? How can we help beyond just insurance? And that's the way that we're thinking. Can we be integrated into products? Can we be integrated into cameras? Can we be integrated into methodologies that people use? And we're starting to do that in the insurance space and making the sales cycle easier, which is, turns out insurers use a lot of tools. They use a lot of company products that take photos. So sometimes it's better to be in those products rather than to go out and try to do a direct sell. So how can we have the broadest impact and solve this problem is really our vision and our goal. How to put this layer of defense everywhere. You know, think of it as a firewall, a spam filter, things that you already have in place. How do you put this layer of defense everywhere so that everybody can benefit? And that's our goal. For me personally, I think it's been a very interesting year. I think one thing about startups is you can never count on outside factors. The last time I started a company, we had a recession. This time we had a pandemic. So you can never expect things externally to go well, but it's also been an interesting experience. I've certainly gotten to realize the importance of family and certainly other things, other parts of daily life that we take for granted. So that's certainly been eye-opening for me. But I always want to be involved, continue to be involved in the entrepreneurial world. Some of my two companies that I started got acquired, and I worked in these larger companies. Though I enjoyed working there, there was always something missing in my life when I wasn't part of the entrepreneurial world. So I see my journey continuing in that space, and whether it's continuing to start companies or maybe helping others. That's really what I enjoy.
Oh, that's really great. Well, I mean, everything that you told me today is just sounds really pretty cool. And it sounds like a technology that's going to definitely be useful and needed in the next few years. Well, this has been great. Thank you so much for talking with me today. Like I said, I love what you guys are doing, and I can't wait to hear about you in the future.
Okay, thank you, Danielle. Appreciate the time.
Yep.